the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
Florida State's season ended miserably after riding so high in 2023. The Seminoles went undefeated, winning the ACC, but were then denied a spot in the four-team college football playoff. Then an enormous portion of the team opted not to play in the Orange Bowl, where the Seminoles were obliterated by Georgia. Coming into 2024, Florida State's football team is going to look incredibly different. Jordan Travis is gone. Jared Verse, gone. Keon Coleman, gone. Johnny Wilson, gone. Trey Benson, gone. You get it. The list goes on. So what will the team look like when it takes the field on Saturday, April 20th at 4 p.m. in Doak Campbell Stadium? There's no one better to fill us in than Tallahassee Democrat sports editor Jim Henry. He's been covering this team since the 80s, and nobody knows the Seminoles like Jim. He'll be joining us in just a moment. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. This podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper and, of course, this podcast to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. Just like the Seminoles, the reporters covering FSU will be different heading into the 2024 season. Our two beat reporters have departed for other opportunities. But have no fear, Tallahassee mainstay Jim Henry is here. He'll tell us about the changes to FSU and the Democrat newsroom. Let's bring him in now. Jim, welcome to your first appearance on the podcast.
Hey, Tim, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. I must be the bottom of the barrel here.
Well, we're going to talk about the changes at the Tallahassee Democrat newsroom and how the FSU's beat is changing in a little bit. I mean, heck, you made it to episode number 174, this is. So, we've been doing this quite some time, almost 3 years, and you helped me with episode number 3. Something I can never thank you enough about, really, is getting Bobby Bowden on the podcast. He gave me, over 20 minutes. And, he died a couple of weeks later. So, I can't thank you for your continued support over the last few years.
No, I'm glad you connected with Coach Bowden. Obviously, good as gold, one of the best. I still miss my weekly calls to him, early morning calls where I would just buzz him, he'd answer, and we'd talk a little bit about everything. And those were some great memories. And, he's missed them. And I'm glad you guys were able to connect, but yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. Every time I call you, your phone's busy. So you're a busy man.
They like to keep me moving. I think I wear 5 different jackets and I clean the trash can. So, All right. So before we get into the game, I did want to talk about what happened last Tuesday, which was the ACC and FSU were in court. The Seminoles, they continue to try and divorce their conference. What were some of the takeaways from that? What do we expect next? When are they in court again? Just kind of give us an update on that.
Yeah, it was a 7-hour court day for many, many sports writers, including ours. Jack Williams and Liam Rooney were in the courthouse. Judge Cooper's presiding. I guess if it's a baseball game, we're in maybe the top of the second inning. Like you said, FSU is soon to get... wants out of the ACC, wants to be able to leave without paying an exit fee, without being penalized, grant of rights. So basically, FSU's lawsuit in Florida is just basically against the ACC. And the judge denied the ACC's motion to pause the case or postpone it until the judge resolves the ACC's suit against FSU in North Carolina. So we have dueling lawsuits, one here in Florida, one in North Carolina. I suspect that this is going to go on for a while. We'll probably end up in federal court with through appeals. And the next date, Judge Cooper, everybody returns April 22nd. While he's looking to make some rulings on some other motions that are still out there. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. It's one's on discovery / grant of rights. The other one is the motion to dismiss the suit. So anyway, it's a lot of legal ease. Kind of fascinating to watch from afar. But again, it's just still a lot of posturing, a lot of maneuvering back and forth between the legal teams. Again, FSU's not walking this back. They'll be out of the ACC at some point. It's just a matter of how much they got to pay, and I suspect eventually to be negotiated out.
Yeah, that's my next question. What's your timeline? How much longer do you think they are part of the ACC?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you got to notify the league. I believe it's each August. So, if they don't notify their intention to depart, they're going to be locked in through 2025 again. I mean, it's kind of like an annual gig. There's a chance it could be out after this year. I'm not real sure I'd believe that. Maybe 2025 would be their last year. But again, it could go on. I mean, if you got to have a landing spot, right? I mean, FSU's not going to jump without knowing where it's going to land. And that's a whole nother story. And it's been a lot of fun to kind of gauge interest on that. I mean, I think the Big Ten would be a great fit. Why not? It's more money. It's people travel now differently for football games. So it's not a big deal as maybe 20 years ago where FSU fans would go, oh my Lord, it'd be so much fun to travel to Alabama or Mississippi or something like that. So, it'll be interesting, but they will be in a different conference at some point.
All right. Well, we will definitely stick with Tallahassee.com for all the great reporting done by your guys and your new guy that we're going to talk about. But again, that'll be in a minute. Let's start with the football now, because the Garnet and Gold game is Saturday. It's at 4 p.m. this year. Starting to get hot out. The cool mornings are going to be going away. So 4 p.m. in Tallahassee, we'll see what the weather looks like on Saturday. But, the big question, of course, is the quarterback position. Jordan Travis, Tate Rodemaker are gone. You've got Oregon State transfer DJ Ungalele, I believe I'm saying that right, true freshman Luke Krummenhoke, and hopefully maybe a sophomore Brock Glenn will win it, so I don't have to get so tongue-tied, but he was the third-string QB last year in that bowl debacle against Georgia. So what have you seen so far out of the three quarterbacks, and who do you anticipate to be in the starter?
Oh, it'll be DJ. I mean, obviously he didn't land here without the intention of he's the front runner for sure. I mean, FSU fans are familiar with him, played at Clemson. It's interesting when FSU, Norvell is so well savvy in the portal, and when DJ was among the guys that they were looking at, I wasn't initially sold just because, hey, he played at Clemson, he was benched, transferred out, but then ended up having a great, did very, very well at Oregon. So the guy's huge. I mean, he's got a strong arm, pretty mobile for his size. Biggest thing is he's a veteran. He's got a ton of experience. He's really endeared himself to his teammates. Everybody says he's a hard worker. I know he talked a lot with Jordan Travis, FSU starter a year ago, prior to signing with FSU. So I think he's got a good feel of what's expected and what he had to look forward to here. So he's definitely 1A. I mean, unless there's an injury or something like that, I think it's more of who's going to be the backup. Like you said, Brock Glenn stepped in as a starter last year. I think, still has a way to go. Luke as well. You need that experience, and it takes time to settle into that offense. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, he's going to have a bunch of new receivers to throw to, because just about every starter I could name from last year's team, receiving and running back wise, and several on defense are gone. So, sticking with the offense first, who will we be watching him throw to, and who will they be handing the ball off to?
Yeah, again, great questions. I even FSU fans, I think, have to go to the depth chart, to see who's emerging. I mean, the one guy I like, again, it's a transfer portal guy, Malik Benson, has a lot of experience, very athletic. FSU does have a bunch and abundance of talented receivers. Destin Hill's a guy, sophomore, that FSU fans, very, very athletic. Unfortunately, he's out of spring, remainder spring due to injury. That's another guy. He's got a lot of speed, Deuce Spann and Douglas on the outside. it just, you know, it's not going to be a Coleman, not going to be a Wilson. So those guys set the standard pretty high for FSU receivers last season. So they're going to, you know, he's got a lot of guys that can select from that can make a difference this year.
All righty. So let's talk some defense then, because same with offense. Most of the people you can name, many of them, I should say, are gone. Jared Verse, of course, is probably the biggest name. So talk about who FSU will be leaning on in 2024 to lead the defense.
You know, the good thing is they have some returnees. I mean, especially across the line. Top of my head, you know, you got Josh Farmer, Daryl Jackson, Patrick Payton. You know, these guys are accomplished, established players inside. Top of my head, I mean, he's got a couple newcomers. Again, transfer portal. Norvell does such a great job, fills needs. You know, Marvin Jones's son is here now, Legacy. Off the top of my head, Grady Kelly's a transfer in. But, you know, they have some established names coming back on defense. You know, Cypress and Shymeen Brown, you know, in the backfield, in the secondary. And, hey, one guy offensively, too, I forgot, we would certainly want to keep an eye out for that's really been doing well. His transfer from Indiana, Jalen Lucas. This guy is fast as a cat, man. He's unbelievable. He's going to help out on special teams. So, you know, they got a lot of weapons. Norvell, again, like I said, does a great job of plugging holes. I think he's recruiting better at the high school level, too. So he's got guys coming in. A lot of competition for playing time, and that's what you want.
All right, well, now let's get into the Garnet and Gold game because, you know, obviously no one cares who wins Garnet or Gold. They're watching for certain things. You know, for instance, last week they had the orange and blue game in Gainesville for the Gators, and everyone wanted to see DJ Lagway. So who are the fans going to be turning out to see? Is it DJ Ungalele, or is there a big recruit that they haven't seen on the field? What are we going to be looking for in this game at 4 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, good question. Again, Norvell's spring game is more a spring showcase. It's really not a scrimmage. It's more situational drills. Does a good job. He's got some former players coming in and honorary coaches. You know, one of them is Tommy Pauly. Connected with Tommy last week. But, I mean, all eyes are going to be on the quarterback. I mean, that's how it is. DJ, fans really haven't had an opportunity to watch him in practice since practices are closed. So it's going to start and end there, I think. I mean, personally, myself, I kind of want to see if he's got a good grasp of the offense, you know, his timing with the receivers, you know, what kind of presence does he have on the field? All eyes are going to be on him. Everything else is going to be secondary, I think, in terms of kind of what fans are looking for. I mean, you know, they want to see their team being athletic, want to see him being fast. Want to see it being aggressive. So spring game's fun. You know, it's relaxed. I mean, it's very competitive, but it's not a scrimmage per se. It's more situational drills and kind of just a opportunity to celebrate a little bit, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I also was reading that the stadium is actually going to be undergoing some renovations and such, and that this will be at a limited capacity. Do you know the number of fans that are looking for or what the extent of that is?
Yeah, the West Stands are gone. So, yeah, it's too bad they're not telling people to bring their lawn chairs, you know, and an umbrella, beach umbrella, because it's the West Stands are empty. I mean, it's gone. If you're near Doak, I mean, if you're going down across Stadium Drive, coming down Pensacola, you can actually see through the stadium, which is kind of a pretty interesting photo. But yeah, it'll be, everybody's going to be on the east stands. Off the top of my head, I don't know what the capacity is, but it's going to be extremely limited. And then they'll have temporary seats up for the start of 2024 season. So they'll all be chair backs, kind of nylon chair backs. So and stadium capacity will be, I think it's going to be under 60 for the season.
All right. Well, it might be a, you know, a little bit of a rebuilding year, so maybe that's not a terrible thing. House will look extra packed anyhow. You know,
No pun intended there. Rebuilding for sure. The stadium.
Good point. Good point. Well, so, you know, Mike Norvell, when he came to the Seminoles, you know, things had been pretty tough there. He kind of, you know, inherited a little bit of a mess. He struggled for a couple of years. He gets to a crescendo last year with this undefeated team, you know, and then, of course, they all sit out the bowl game and they get smashed. And now he has to, as you just said, rebuild. How has he done, in your opinion, not only with the recruiting, because nowadays it's not just recruiting high schoolers, it's that darn transfer portal. So, you know, maybe if you were giving him a grade, how would you say he's been doing leading into the 2024 season?
Oh, shoot. That's, you know, probably A minus, B plus. I mean, I from what I've been told, and this is talking to players and some parents and others in the business, I mean, Mike is he's such a high energy guy, but he is so genuine. And really, you got to almost give him a tip of the cap in terms of his ability to connect these kids and quickly build a culture. You know, you're right. When he came in here, it was a mess. The culture was a mess. You know, did a great job of getting kids kind of reshaping the roster. He basically flipped it, which is very difficult to do. And in this day and age, I think, you know, kids are obviously looking for an opportunity to play. But at the same time, man, they got to go to a place where they feel they can trust the head coach. And I think Norvell exhibits that trust. He just had the opportunity to meet him just at events on certain occasions. And just I think he's as genuine as the day is long, you know, and the guy don't stop. I mean, he is the Energizer Bunny Rabbit, man. That guy, he just goes and goes, high tempo. People can hear him screaming in the atrium. Just, you know, he's always that type of guy. He never meets a stranger, too. So that's good. That's how fans, I think, can relate to him.
Mike Norvell, sponsored by Red Bull.
Yeah. When he came, he was at the softball game this past week and popped his head out. He's there with his wife and, you know, the guy was swarmed. He's like a rock star, you know, people posing, taking pictures with him. And he gets it, you know, I mean, he understand that's part of it. And there was a young guy that actually I did a trending story on from Michigan that came down, a lifelong FSU fan, and bumped into Norvell in the atrium and just was blown away that, you know, coach basically walked up to him, shook his hand, asked about this guy. And, he's, you know, that's something. And this is a middle-aged man. It's something he said he'll remember for the rest of his life.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, we actually used that story in the two newspapers I manage, too. We had that both in Florida Today and at the Times Union in Jacksonville. Great story by Jim. And you could find that easily, again, at Tallahassee Democrat at Tallahassee.com. So what do you think of their chances, Jim, in 2024? Can they repeat as ACC champs? Or, you know, has competition gotten a little tighter?
No, I think they got a great chance of repeating. Again, they got a very difficult schedule. Now with the playoff system in, I mean, you're really, college football's turning NFL, right? I mean, you're talking about such a long season, potentially 14 games. Shoot, if not more, right, if you make the championship game. So you have to stay healthy. Starts with DJ. Again, he's a veteran, so I'm thinking that he's going to be able to make that transition. As always, you're gonna have to have some new players step in to replace the old established guys, and you got to have your experienced guys, no matter how talented, be able to take that next step. You know, Clemson's gonna be there. You know, I mean, the ACC still the ACC, so I think there's always going to be opportunities there and to make the playoff. And I think of all the conferences, it's still probably the easiest path.
Yeah, well, if they do have a good season, maybe the CFP will give them the benefit of the doubt this year. Can you imagine a scenario where they're maybe like a two-loss team and they're like number 13 or 12? Fans might lose their minds this year.
It's gonna happen to somebody, right? I mean, anytime you have a system in place where you got X number of teams and there's always going to have one or two teams on the outside looking in and, you know, really believing they deserve to be in as well. So, you know, you used to be able to say if you win, you know, winning takes care of itself. And that was actually my column last year, thinking there's just no way they can keep FSU out. And look what happened.
Yeah, Yeah. So I got a couple more questions for you, but before we get to those, is there anything about the spring game or the current Seminoles roster that you want to get in front of people? And then we're going to just talk a little bit about the upcoming season.
No, I think we covered it. You know, it's cool to see Ernie Sims back. FSU fans, local fans here in Tallahassee recognize that name. Ernie's is part of the analytical team now. You know, back in the day, he was the nation's number one recruit out of North Florida Christian when he signed with FSU. So fun to see him. And Odell Hagans, still marching on, man. He's the Wiley vet, and Ron Dugans, and those are guys that I connect with and covered back in the day, you know, living here for 36 years now, hard to believe. But again, I'm excited for the spring game. I don't put much stock in it in terms of X's and O's, but I do want to see how the kids play. And I take that back. I mean, I'm looking at X's and O's and see what kind of scheme they're running, but you know, what they do in the spring game, not going to have a whole lot of impact to what's going to happen this fall.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give too much away either. So
yeah, as long as everybody stays healthy.
Yep. So we'll be watching that. So, you know, I just want to ask two questions about the start of the season. Now, their season opener is a Saturday, August 24th against Georgia Tech. Then they play Boston College on Monday, September 2nd. Now, in years past, the last couple of years, they've been playing on that holiday weekend against LSU. Is it somewhat of a relief to see slightly easier competition to kick off the year? Because Florida State, I mean, you know, if you remember, they used to play Miami to start the season. They've always done it a little bit tougher. And, you know, not to say anything bad about Georgia Tech or Boston College, but they're certainly not national powers like what FSU will quite often do.
No, you're right. You know, the thing is, it's funny. Bowden always used to say season openers are always the scariest because teams have all year to plan, you know? I mean, they can game plan for one game, really. So, and I think this is a great opportunity for FSU fans, you know, hit to Dublin, go to Dublin. Just think it's going to be a great atmosphere. Shoot, everybody I know is going. So it's a good opportunity on the national stage. Again, it's all about building your brand, right? And this is a game, at least on paper, you think FSU should win, but again, season openers, man, just there's always that question mark in terms of how teams have game planned for you. And yeah, then they quickly bounce back and have to play Boston College at home. So I think the schedule looks good for them, and just it's gonna be a long haul. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'll do a more of a schedule breakdown as we get closer to the season. But the only other game I want to talk about real quick is, you know, look at that game number 3. You see Memphis there. How long in advance has Norvell had that circled on his schedule playing his old team?
Yeah, no, that's great. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, he faced off against one of his assistants last year. So I think that type of game always is going to be a lot of fun for him. But I'm telling you what, man, once the game starts, this dude's all business. So, you know, he doesn't care if he's playing Memphis or University of Florida. He's going to want to win. And but it is nice that, you know, facing a school that he had coached at previously.
Yeah, very cool. Well, now, Jim, you know, we alluded to earlier, there's changes going on there in the Democrat. You've recently said goodbye to both of your beat writers, Essen Kasem, who's done a great job for the last couple of years, and Jack Williams, who took a new job out west. So, you know, you've got one replacement who's starting this week and will be looking for our second reporter. So tell us a little bit about your new guy and who I will be interviewing in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's been a revolving door. This FSU beat, this is my 10th year at the Democrat as sports editor. And best part is all these guys are leaving for bigger and better opportunities. You know, I mean, they've done a great job here for us and, people, other properties and other newspapers, websites are chasing them now. So that's always very cool. But yeah, and Essen did a great job in FSU, and tip of the cap to him. But yeah, Peter Holland Jr. is coming in. Today's his first day. He's a Florida guy from South Florida, graduate of FIU. Actually interviewed Peter probably 4 or 5 years ago for a position. And at that time, just tons of talent. Just didn't think he was ready yet, but went on and has worked at a couple different newspapers and properties and has just done a great job. Young guy, 31, developed as a writer, a news reporter. Had our first meeting with him today. Yeah, just great personality. Just really, really looking forward to coming back home. His parents are from South Florida, so he's always, it's been a dream of his to come back. Yeah, and this is Jack Williams' last week. As you mentioned, he's headed to Las Vegas to cover professional hockey. So, again, very excited for Jack. And, you know, we hired him as a prep editor here, 4 years ago, and he worked his way up to FSU and has done a nice job for us. And so we're going to have another body in the lineup we're going to have to fill here shortly. But good group of guys. We got Gerald Thomas covering FAM and helping with community news and preps, and Liam Rooney's a South Florida guy as our prep editor. So couldn't be happier with our crew.
No, definitely great staff up there. And, you know, people are probably saying, well, geez, why would somebody want to leave an FSU beat? What's a better job than that? I don't think people realize, Jim, it's not just the 14 or 15 games if you were to cover all the way through a championship. It's the early morning practices. It's the hot Florida sun. It's the constant pressure of getting your stories out there. So it is a fun thing to do, covering a beat like that for college or professional, but it is also a grind.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, you know, FSU, as you know down there too, I mean, our college beats here in Tallahassee, FSU, specifically FSU, FAMU too as well, but highly, highly competitive. You know, you have all these other websites, fan sites, news organizations, television, you know, everybody's covering a brand like FSU. So you really got to be motivated and want to do a good job. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I got a really, really young staff. Peter's our oldest at 31, and Liam and Gerald are both in their 20s. So keeps me young. Hard to believe I've been in this business 46 years now.
Hoo-wee. Well, I will tell you, I'm 47, so I was one when you started in the business, Jim. So
I know, bud. I just I'm reminded of it every day. But I've been blessed, man. Just been covering FSU since the mid-80s. And my kids went to FSU, and just a lot of good close friends, and still really enjoy the business.
All right. Well, I look forward to working with Peter. Last question. You know, last year, I don't get up to Tallahassee much, so excuse my ignorance on this. I'm about a 5 or 6 hour drive away in East Central Florida. Any updates on the Bobby Bowden restaurant? I remember reading about it last year. Has that opened in Tallahassee, or is that coming?
Yep, nope, it's been open. Ann and the family went there a few months ago, and we've been there a few times. Dave Roberts, former FSU tight end, great guy, an attorney here in the Panhandle. Him and a few others opened it in College Town, so it's, you know, down and out from Doe Campbell Stadium, so to speak. So it's doing well, a lot of memorabilia. And that whole College Town area is just what a great atmosphere on game weekends. But a lot of fun. And Ann Bowden's doing great. Just talked to her a couple weeks ago. Carol Martin, too, as you know, Mike Martin, the legendary FSU baseball coach, passed away here recently. So, everybody's doing well, man. I appreciate you having me on the podcast for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking to you, Jim. And that's so cool that you keep up with the widows of the guys that you covered so long. It just shows how much you really care and the relationships you develop when you work with a coach over, you know, many, many decades. So kudos to you for that. And it's just been an absolute pleasure, Jim. And anything else about your social media channel, where people can follow you, or where if they want to read anything else from your guys?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Visit Tallahassee.com for all FSU, FAMU, and prep sports, and community news, too. Did a little story yesterday on the Masters runner-up, who's a Tallahassee resident, so which was very cool. Lives here with a former FSU golfer, Vincent Norman. So doing that little quick story on Ludwig was a lot of fun. But you can find me on Facebook, Jim Henry, and on Twitter at Jim Henry Tally. Easy to find. So again, man, I appreciate it. Really enjoyed spending some time with you.
All righty. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you soon, and don't be a stranger.
All right, buddy. Take care, Tim.
And that will do it for another episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote former Florida State great running back Warrick Dunn, no matter where you come from, there's opportunities to grow as an individual and to get better yourself, your situation, and your surroundings. Words to live by. Thanks for listening, and join me again next time.